Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the evening news on Highland Radio at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. In this bulletin, two men have been rescued from a fishing boat capsized off of Torrey Island earlier today. The Garda Commissioners promised more Gardaí will be on the front line in Donegal as part of the new regional policing system. Temperatures are set to fall to minus 5 in some parts tonight as another low temperature warning has been issued. The Finance Minister says Pascal Donoghue should stay in place after controversy relating to his election expenses, and a man's been charged with several offences after ramming a police car in Derry on Friday night. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half hour. Also, Oisin Kelly will be here with all that is in sport from a quarter past five. To this evening's main stories, and two fishermen have been rescued after their boat sank off of Torrey Island earlier today. Shortly before 6 a.m, the Malinhead Coast Guard received a mayday call from the 36-foot-long crab vessel. Tom Douglas has more.
Malinhead Coast Guard received a mayday call at 5:58 this morning from a fishing vessel reporting it was taking on water. A mayday relay call was issued by the Coast Guard with the Rescue 118 helicopter, the Torrey Coast Guard and Arranmore lifeboat tasked to the scene. Another fishing vessel, which was nearby, also responded to the call. It was the first to arrive on the scene. It found the two fishermen in a life raft about 1.5 miles away from their vessel, which had sunk. Communication between the fishing boat and the Malinhead Coast Guard was broken for a period. The men were safely transferred to the Maharaurti Pier by the Ave Maria fishing boat. As the pair had not entered the water, no medical assistance was required.
The Garda Commissioner expects the new policing model for the North West to be progressed and implemented this year. The new model will see Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim combined in one region, with its headquarters now to be located in Galway, with a divisional headquarters in Letterkenny. Commissioner Drew Harris appeared before the meeting of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee today, where he says the new policing structure would streamline divisions and focus on having more Gardaí on the front line.
Well, I think what really would want to reassure them that when Garda Síochána is a growing organisation, we're committed to rural policing, we're committed to the rural stations, and we're committed to providing a localised service to them. And so they'll see no reduction in the service that we provide. And what this is really a structure behind the scenes so we can provide more services locally.
And you did discuss about it's more about getting more Gardaí on the front line, but there is the issue then with resources and no Garda cars being available for them.
Well, Garda Síochána is the largest fleet that it's ever had, and we've had very considerable investment in that fleet. So it is for the divisional officer to make the case for additional vehicles, and our fleet continues to grow. So if there are particular needs around vehicles, and I heard that loud and clear, then hopefully we can address those.
And about getting more Gardaí on the ground as well.
Well, in respect of the number of Gardaí, there's a commitment for the government commitment for the organisation to grow to 15,000, and we are in the middle of a recruitment campaign. There'll be a follow-on recruitment campaign this year. Templemore is very much open, and we want to see big classes coming into the college so that ultimately they end up out in the ground. That's our commitment. We want to grow as an organisation. We're funded and supported by government to grow.
Temperatures will fall to minus 5 in parts tonight as another low temperature warning comes into effect. Mid-Erin's nationwide yellow alert for ice is now in place and will end at midday tomorrow. They're forecasting treacherous conditions, especially on untreated footpaths and roads. Communications manager with the Road Safety Authority, Brian Farrell, has this advice for motorists.
The message is to really take it easy, take it handy on the road, slow down, leave an extra distance if you're overtaking cyclists and pedestrians, and of course, watch out for black ice, I think, which is really a challenge at this time of year, and it is hard to spot, and they're likely, you're likely to encounter those conditions on back roads and on sheltered areas.
Police believe a car involved in the ramming of a police vehicle in Derry may have travelled across the border into Donegal. A 31-year-old man's been charged with several motoring offences in Derry after two police officers escaped serious injury during the incident on Friday night. He's now set to appear before Derry Magistrates Court tomorrow. Donna Marie Doherty has more details.
Shortly before 9:10 p.m. on Friday, officers stopped a maroon-coloured Volvo S60 with the registration of UCZ4284 at the junction of Buncrana Road and Upper Galley Road. One officer attempted to speak with the driver, but as he approached, the driver reversed at speed, narrowly missing the officer and another parked vehicle. The suspect drove directly at the officer, forcing him to jump out of the way. He then rammed the police vehicle with another officer still inside before fleeing in the direction of White House Road. The officer sustained neck and arm pain and were left shaken. The 31-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of two counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily injury by dangerous driving, driving without insurance, driving while disqualified, and failing to stop, report and remain where an accident occurred causing injury. He remains in custody at this time. Inspector Ryan Robb believes the vehicle had also been driven into County Donegal at some point after the incident and yesterday afternoon.
The EU and UK Brexit negotiators say talks should continue in a constructive spirit over the Northern Ireland Protocol. Mara Sivakic and James Cleverly held a video call to review progress in discussions since their meeting last week. They talked about the need to find solutions together to comprehensively tackle the concerns of all communities in the North. DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson, though, says their position on the protocol hasn't changed.
So we're not agreeing to anything or signing up to anything until we see does an agreement respect and protect Northern Ireland's place in the United Kingdom.
The Finance Minister says Pascal Donoghue should continue in his role as Public Expenditure Minister. It follows controversy surrounding Minister Donoghue's recent declarations in relation to his general election campaign in 2016. It was revealed he didn't disclose a payment of €1,057 on public records at the time of the election. Opposition parties have called for more clarity, but Minister Michael McGrath says his cabinet colleague should stay in place.
The fact that he has made a statement is fully willing now to cooperate and engage with SIPO, and I think we just have to allow that process to take its course. But he absolutely can and should continue in his role in Ireland and the Irish government, and indeed as president of the Eurogroup as well.
A Glenties councillor has welcomed progress on a new housing development in Gidore. Councillor Micheál Colum Macgilla Aspig says the announcement that 29 housing units are set to be completed in the Gidore area in the next 2 years is good news, but says more must be done to stop people emigrating from West Donegal. He says that progress on housing in the area is still far too slow.
Certainly encouraging news from housing construction, and I'd like to give recognition to the housing staff locally and Lifford, but at the same time things are moving far too slow for us. Yes, we are talking now the possibility what government approval, 29 units for Gidore, groundbreaking this year and turnkey in 2024. But if you look at other areas like Harrer Crashvilla, Alcara, Anchohanlia, Ar Anagra, Lichamack Ward, Tari, Erinmore, all these places here are badly needing of houses. We have something like a couple of hundred people on the housing list. There are scores and scores of individuals and families who are leaving because the cost of housing is beyond them, even though that they might be earning a decent or half-decent wage living in the community. But people have entitlement to homes. They're being forced to go to other countries to seek to make a living. But Gidore, in terms of it, to Shinjaskiel Milchinamai, this is fantastic. We need it. We need it badly. But there are other sites that we're looking at in Gidore, like up on the top of the Scrab on there, with Udras na Gaeltachta, and I'm hopeful that Udras and Council can reach a very positive, constructive position on that land as well.
Is it 2024 that they're hopeful then that the doors may be opening these houses?
Well, that's what they're looking at, but things do take time, and hopefully, and I've expressed this very strongly, that we need to rush things. We need to get doors open, we need to get blocks built, and we need to get people into their homes, forever homes. We know that there's so many people emigrating because of the fact that they can't afford or even consider renting even homes within their own community now.
Donegal County Council say that repair works have begun on the R262 Frosses to Glenties Road. Delays are expected for motorists as traffic management measures are now in place there. HGV drivers in particular are being advised to avoid the road and use the N56 Killybanks to Glenties Road instead this evening. 34% of Irish electricity was generated by wind last year, with Wind Energy Ireland saying 80% of energy must come from renewable sources by the end of the decade if 2030 targets are to be met. CEO Noel Cunniff says significant progress has been made, but there's still a long way to go. He says the increase will be met partially through increases in offshore wind and solar power, but more onshore wind farms will be necessary. Mr. Cunniff has acknowledged Donegal has already made a substantial contribution.
Donegal has played a remarkable role thus far in providing clean, renewable energy to help all of Ireland, not just Donegal, in terms of the amount of onshore wind farms that are there. For us to get to 2030, we are going to need more onshore wind energy. Now, the good news is that because of the way turbine technology is progressing and the way development is progressing, it doesn't mean we necessarily need the same amount of wind farms or the same amount of wind turbines in order to get us there. The newer wind farms are much more efficient. It's really important that those wind farms that are being developed in partnership with the community, that people are being brought along, they're being engaged at every step of the way so that their views can be taken into account in developing these wind farms when they are being progressed.
There's also discussions taking place at local authority level in terms of county development plans. Is there sufficient engagement between yourselves as a representative body, between the generation companies themselves and councillors and officials on local authorities to try and ensure that everyone understands everyone else?
That's exactly what we're trying to do. In order for us to hit those targets, every county is going to play a role in that across Ireland. And the policy is really being set at a national level. But then that goes down to the local level with the county development plan. Our members and ourselves were constantly engaging with the planning authorities, with the local councillors to try and put across how we believe renewable energy can play a key role in decarbonising both at a county level and at a national level. And it's only by doing that that we're going to get ourselves out of the energy crisis that we're in at the moment because of our very high reliance on imported fossil fuels.
A man who tried to hire a hitman to kill a Canadian couple his wife had met online has received a 4.5-year prison sentence. Brian Kennedy of Mount Talent Avenue in Harold's Cross in Dublin claimed he did it for love and heartbreak after discovering intimate chats between them on Facebook. Frank Greeny has more.
3 years ago, Brian Kennedy engaged a man referred to in court as Mr. X with the view to having two women in Canada killed. After hacking into his wife's Facebook account, he discovered that she'd been having intimate chats with the couple online and was planning to move over to them. He told a friend his wife no longer loved him and had stopped wearing her wedding ring. The court heard he paid Mr. X €8,000, and when he couldn't find an additional €2,000 to pay for the double hit, Mr. X started threatening him and his family. It later emerged that Mr. X had fooled him into believing he could arrange to have them killed. Before sentencing Kennedy, the judge said she had to consider that he was the one who approached Mr. X and not the other way around. His sentence won't begin until mid-April to allow him time to get his affairs in order. Frank Graney at the Central Criminal Court.
The time's coming up to 13 minutes past five. We'll take a short break. Sports coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy's Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 60 minutes past five. Time to go over to Oisin Kelly for all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. We're going to start with a couple of events that have been affected by the weather. There is, of course, a snow and ice warning in place for the northwest tonight. And one among the fixtures to fall due to the weather is the semi-final of the Hurling Conor McGurk Cup, in which Donegal were due to play Antrim. That game was scheduled for the Derry GA Centre in Owen Beg at 7:30, but that match has been postponed. There's no details as yet about a refixed date for that fixture. And due to the yellow warning in place for County Donegal tonight, in the interest of safety, Donegal GA are deferring their county management and committee meetings, which were due to take place tonight. Updates have been emailed to the respective club secretaries, so no county committee meetings will be taking place tonight either due to the weather. Staying with Gaelic games, Patrick McBearty was named Donegal captain over the weekend. The Kilcare man will lead Donegal into the National League campaign with the first game against All-Ireland champions Kerry on January 29th. That is Sunday week. McBearty, who takes over the role from Michael Murphy, says it's an honour to be leading out Donegal in 2023.
Yeah, very honoured, Oisin. Proud day for myself, family and the Kilcare club. So big year ahead, and I suppose it all starts now in 2 weeks' time against Kerry.
And I suppose you're taking over the role from Michael Murphy, who was in that position for a very long time. Was being captain of Donegal and leading out your county something that maybe you wanted to aspire to at some stage in your career, Patrick?
Listen, I think any young fella has any aspirations to go on and play county football probably wants to go on and captain the county some stage, but the situation Donegal were in with Michael, I suppose we all thought that he'd just be the captain for another few more years yet, but listen, Michael called it a day, and I suppose the opportunity arose, and listen, I was lucky enough to get the shout from Paddy, Aidan and the lads, and you know, one that was delighted to get, and as I say, honoured to have.
Yeah, obviously when managers are picking captains, they look at sort of attributes and things that they can bring to the squad. What do you think it is, Patrick, that you have now that you can lead this team out with?
Listen, I suppose I've never been one for, you know, roaring the dressing room doors down. Listen, if we're in meetings or if we're in the dressing room or if it's half time in a game, listen, I'll say something if I feel something needs to be said. But listen, ultimately, I need to get me own game right. You know, because if your own game's not right in the pitch, I suppose it's hard to get the respect of the other lads in the dressing room. So listen, my main objective is for the year is to stay injury free and play as good a football as I can. I think everything else will take care of itself.
That is Donegal's new captain, Patrick McBertie. And there's more from Patrick available now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Staying with more Gaelic games, Derry will face Tyrone this coming Saturday evening in the Dr. McKenna Cup final. Tyrone progressed on Saturday by beating Cavan, while Derry overcame Down on Sunday, winning 3-2 on penalties at Park Eslar in Newry. It's another game for Derry, which boss Rory Gallagher sees as important.
From day one, you want to be a team for all seasons, albeit nobody's ever going to judge anything the McKenna Cup. But, you know, it's the start of a journey for Lachlan Murray. It's the start of a journey, Ben McCarron, to an extent. Owen McAvoy, do you know what I mean? Brendan playing in the middle of the park. So it is. And, you know, obviously Lynchy, Clucky, them boys are still young. Obviously, they've had a successful year to an extent last year. But more games they play, the more tests they get, and the more the challenges they get, you know, the better.
In ladies' Gaelic games, Orla Finn has confirmed her inter-county retirement. The concealed forward won 6 All-Ireland football titles following her Cork debut in 2011 and just as many Division 1 league titles. Finn also collected 2 All-Stars during her time on the Cork panel. On the football front, Pat Fenlon says he's been tasked with overseeing operations of Bohemians. The club's former manager has been appointed as Bohemians' director of football. Fenlon previously served in a similar position at Waterford and leaves Linfield in the Irish League, where he was their general manager. Shamrock Rovers have signed Estonia international midfielder Marcus Pou. The 23-year-old joins on a season-long loan from Flora Tallinn. Pou is the son of former Derby County and Arsenal goalkeeper Mart. Merseyside police have confirmed they're in discussions with Everton over alleged threats towards club directors ahead of their Premier League defeat to Southampton on Saturday. Security advisors told board members to stay away from Goodison Park at the weekend because of safety concerns. No offences have yet been reported. The police say they're also aware of videos in circulation of fans approaching players' cars after the game. In tennis, Coco Gauff will meet Emma Raducanu in the Australian Open women's second round. They beat Katrina Sinakova and Tamara Kuprich, respectively, in straight sets to progress. Top seed Eva Shevnotek, Jessica Pegula and Maria Sakkari all advanced without dropping a set. And the men's, Daniel Medvedev opened his Melbourne campaign with an easy victory. The back-to-back runner-up beat Marcus Guerin for the loss of just 3 games and will face John Millman in round 2. Rafa Nadal needed 4 sets to beat Jack Draper, and there was also ones for third seed Stefanos Tsitsipas and Felix Auger-Aliassime. That's your sport for today, Daniel. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Austin. Sure, we'll hear more about the Australian Open tomorrow. Back to news, and a retired vet says the development of a new school of veterinary medicine in Ireland is vital, but progress currently is slow. Gerard Rorty says there's a shortage of vets, particularly to look after cattle, and that shortage is being felt particularly acutely in Donegal. He says there are questions to be asked about how the design and procurement of the new school is being coordinated. He's also concerned that in light of Brexit, there may be issues with joint recognition.
This has been done in the hoof, and we are saying, particularly for Donegal, there's very specific criteria that we need. Government has particularly Higher Education Authority has missed that criteria, the ability to register so that our vets can go in and practice in Northern Ireland and vice versa. And there's a Brexit problem, and I can see what has happened to them. A lot of this work was started 10 years ago before Brexit, and Brexit has caught them short-sighted. And we're saying you've got to realise and recognise now that this is a school that has to be designed with the challenges of Brexit in mind. We have more dentists and doctors on the evaluation panel for a new vet school than we have vets. The academic qualifications and the pedigree of those 19 people are second to none. Mm-hmm. But they are not people who know an awful lot about designing new vet schools. They're not people that know an awful lot about veterinary academia.
And finally, the completion of the Mough to Derry Greenway project has moved a step forward. It's being confirmed that a contractor has been appointed to deliver the Colmore section of the Greenway project. Emma Ryan has more.
Plans to develop a greenway between Derry and Mough moved a step closer today with the appointment of a consultant. Northstone Limited have been tasked with overseeing the major scheme, which will connect Derry to Donegal via a route taking in Bay Road Park, Boom Hall and the Coney Road. Work has already commenced at Coney Road. Derry City and Strabane District Council's Director of Environment and Regeneration, Karen Phillips, says the £2.5 million project will greatly enhance the city's green infrastructure and offer a more sustainable travel option for those who use the road between Derry and Donegal every day for school, work and leisure. She says it will offer a fantastic cross-border connection linking the close communities of Colmore and Mough. The final project will entail the delivery of an 8.5-kilometre route, providing a safe and accessible active travel option for walkers and cyclists.
Weather now. Tonight will be very cold with further wintry showers and snowfall expected on higher ground. Lowest temperatures of -1 to -5 degrees tonight with widespread severe frost, some icy stretches, as well as mist and fog patches forming. And to this evening's main stories once again, two men have been rescued after a fishing boat capsized off of Torrey Island earlier today. The Garda Commissioners promised more Gardaí will be on the front line in Donegal as part of a new regional policing system. Temperatures are set to fall to -5 in some parts tonight as another low temperature warning's been issued. The Finance Minister says Pascal Donoghue should continue in his role in the Cabinet after controversy relating to his expenses, and a man's been charged with several offences after ramming a police car in Derry on Friday night. That's all from the news desk for now. I'll be back at 6 o'clock with headlines. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, January the 16th. The death has taken place of Bridget Morrow, Letterbreck, Clohan. Her remains will repose at her home in Letterbreck from 7 p.m. this evening. Funeral leaving from there on Wednesday morning for Mass in Our Lady of Perpetual Secure Glenfinn, followed by burial in the family plot in Kilty Vogue Cemetery. The time of the funeral is to be confirmed later. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland or Clohan Health Centre. The death has occurred of Annie Patton, Castleban, Stranorler. Her remains are reposing at her late residence from 7 p.m. this evening. Funeral leaving from there on Thursday at 12:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon YouTube channel. Family time from 9 p.m. to 12 noon each day and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Samuel Derek Fleming, Gortlee, Letterkenny. There will be no wake and the house is strictly private at the request of the deceased. Derek's service of thanksgiving will take place in Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m, followed by burial in the family plot at Gortlee Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Susan Gibbons, Der Groh, Clohan. Her remains are reposing this evening in the oratory of the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Secure, Glenfinn, with rosary at 7 p.m. Family and friends are welcome. Requiem Mass at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, with interment afterwards in Kilty Vogue Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund at St Joseph's Community Hospital, Stranorler, care of Patrick Gibbons. The death has taken place of Joshua Montgomery, Stoney, Ballinally, Moville. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral service on Wednesday at 1 p.m. in Moville Presbyterian Church, Glencrow, Moville, followed by burial in Clare Redcastle Burial Ground. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Ash Ward, Buncrana Nursing Unit Patients Comfort Fund. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Colette Patton, Nee Logue, 42 Parkside Gardens, Sion Mills. Colette's remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family time please from 11 p.m. tonight. The death has taken place of Celine Clark, The Bungalow, Three Trees, Quigley's Point. Celine's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m. for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Celine's funeral Mass can be viewed live at ishgeenparish.com or on MCN Media. The death has occurred of Charlie Moon, Drimbarran, Frosses. His remains will repose at his home today until 9 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Removal from there on Wednesday for 12 noon funeral Mass at the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Frosses, with interment in the adjoining cemetery. House private pleas on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Blue Stack Foundation, care of any family member or John McGowan funeral directors. Charlie's funeral Mass can be viewed online at MCN Media. The death has taken place of Eileen O'Donnell, Cornegilla, Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her niece Catherine Ryan's home in Knock, Ballybuffet. House private please, family and friends welcome. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 for 12 noon Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Convoy, followed by burial in the family plot in the old graveyard. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired to the Patients' Comfort Fund at Brentwood Manor Nursing Home, care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Martin Kelly, Ballybrack, Moville. Wake strictly private at the request of the deceased. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by private cremation at Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.